the minister of music that I had for 17 years. He and I worked together. I used to sing that. But it became my favorite song one night when another man sang it. In Mississippi, they had a group called the Singing Churchmen. And it was made up of 50 ministers of music from around the state. And they were awesome. And we had gone to a concert that they sang. And one of them, and I don't remember where he was from, with tears in his eyes, said, "I have to sing this tonight." He said, "I promised my mother that I would, and she died 2 days ago." And he said, "As I sing this, I believe that this is what she experienced those 2 days ago." It's always been a favorite, and Randy, I love the way you do it. Thank you. Well, it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I had a professor at seminary that said one time that Thanksgiving was the hardest Sunday in the world to preach. He said, "What do you say on Thanksgiving?" "Well, we ought to be thankful. Shame on you if you're not thankful. Let's pray." But you know, there's more to it than that, and I trust the fact that God honors His Word, and I trust the fact that His Holy Spirit ministers His Word to share with you this morning an old passage that all of you are well committed to or well versed in. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, the story of 10 lepers that were healed. I want us to take a moment. It's a very, very familiar passage. And so I want us just to share for a few moments in some thoughts that I have concerning the passage. And then we'll look at several things. And then I want you to grant me a little leeway at the end of the message. But I simply want to share a simple message entitled, "Where Are the Nine?" Where are the nine? Let's read together Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11 and reading through verse 19. "And it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But the nine, where are they? Was no one found to turn back to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'd honor your word in each life, and that the very power of your Holy Spirit would fill this place. God, that you might have honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. to share just some random thoughts, no particular order, concerning the passage as we read it. First of all, I think that we can understand that Jesus values thanksgiving. It means something to the Lord Jesus when we have thankful hearts and a grateful spirit. A glad outpouring is a grateful heart. And that was acceptable to Jesus. And yet still, he missed that in the 9 that did not come. Now, he has praise for the 1, but he wonders what happened to the 9. As the passage begins, it says that it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem, and it's a passage that goes all the way back to chapter 9 and verse 51. Chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus began his last journey to Jerusalem, the one that would take him to the cross. And in that passage, it says very simply, it says that it came about when the days were approaching for his ascension that he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, there was nothing that would stop him now from going to face the cross. And so it's a very special time. It says that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. He was passing through that frontier region, if you will, between the two. Now, most people didn't go through Samaria. They did the Transjordan route, where they crossed over the Jordan River and went down on the other side of the river and then came across to Jericho. But in this passage, we find Jesus in that netherland where you had Galilee here and Samaria here, and he was in that region that was the frontier between the two. And it's the last part of his journey. You see, there's a difference between people, and this is one of the things that you see clearly. There are 10 lepers, 9 are Jews. 1 is a Samaritan. And there's a difference between people, and that all goes away, though, when they face misery together. They called out to Jesus, and they called him Master. And the word that's used there is very significant. Of the gospel writers, Luke is the one that uses it, and the only other time that he uses that word is as his apostles are speaking to him and calling him Master. The general word that's used is the word teacher. Both words together kind of round out the Aramaic word for rabbi, but he says Master. Now, the difference in the words, the one that's normally used is translated teacher. This one is translated master, and it literally means commander, person in charge. And so they either recognized something in Jesus, or they sought to butter him up. And I think you can tell the difference between people's attitude. You know, there are a lot of people that the only thing they want to do with Jesus is get what they can for themselves. That's all they care about. Get what they can for themselves. And you're going to see a vast difference in kinds of people. Jesus, rather than going to them and touching them and healing them, gave them a commandment instead that demanded faith on their part. He said, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, that was normally what a person did. If you felt that you had been healed of leprosy, you went to the priest and the priest declared you healed, and then you could come back into society and associate with regular folks. A leper couldn't do that. Now, what Jesus was saying to them is simply trust and go to the priest as if you've been healed. Well, that took a real leap of faith, didn't it? Go to the priest as if you've been healed. And the interesting thing is, all 10 of them did. All 10 of them obeyed. All 10 of them were healed. But 9 of them were healed in vain. 9 were healed in vain because their selfish spirits were not changed. But God did an amazing miracle in the life of one, didn't he? In the life of that one, he did an amazing miracle. The word that's used here when it says that he was a Samaritan is a very imperative word. Jesus wants his people to understand that this fellow was different. He was different. The rest were Jews. And you know their problem was they felt like God owed them. Why, we're God's people. He said so. I wonder sometimes if people don't have that attitude today. Well, we're God's people. Well, you live like the devil. But we're God's people. And I guess people think that that cuts a lot of weight. But in the scheme of things, is it more important to say, well, we're God's people, or to live like God's people? And here were 9 that didn't as much as say, thank you. When you were little, and your parents were teaching you. When we moved to the South, and we moved especially to Mississippi, it was amazing the way people brought up their children. They all say, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. They all say, please. They all say, thank you. And if they miss saying thank you, their mother will look at them and say, hey, you're welcome. They'll say, thank you. And you know, that's a wonderful thing, but I think that it's just something they learned to satisfy their mama. Because the next thing after the mother says to them, well, you're welcome, if they don't get the point then, a lot of times she drives the point home. And so I think a lot of times they say thank you to avoid the pain. You know, motivation has a lot to do with thanksgiving. And when a child is coerced into thanking, do you think that's real? Do you think that's real? You know, I think about this, and I think about this Samaritan. You know what was different? You know what made the difference between him and the other 9? The passage says, when he saw that he had been healed. Doesn't say that about the other 9. They never saw it. They just expected it. I wonder how many blessings you and I miss because we just expect it. I mean, God's supposed to bless us, isn't he? Listen to the TV preachers and they'll sure tell you that. Well, God's supposed to bless you. Huh. You see, the 9 accepted their healing as their due. They were God's people. But this Samaritan knew he didn't have a thing in the world coming. He knew that he didn't have any kind of relationship with God. And he knew that what he received in his healing was pure mercy and grace from a loving God. You see, the grateful receive some special blessings. The Lord Jesus said to this man, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." But the word that's used is sozo in Greek, and it's a word that literally means that you have been made whole. You have been made whole. And what that means is that because you noticed that God poured out mercy and grace into your life, then he changed you from the inside out. Oh, the others received a change on the outside. How many people today do you see like that? But how many are changed on the inside as God pours his mercy and grace into their hearts? And this fellow received a whole lot more than those nine that went their way. Oh, they were healed. They could go and eat at McDonald's and nobody would throw them out or get mad at them. They could associate with folks. They didn't have to say, "Unclean, unclean." But the other guy got blessed in a way they never did. First of all, you know, the thankfulness forces us to focus on what we have rather than what we want. It turns what I have into enough. Isn't that a marvelous thing? It turns what I have into enough. That is awesome. Thanksgiving looks outward rather than inward. It realigns our very life so that we revolve around God rather than expecting him to revolve around us. I heard a story about a mother that had taken her little child, actually it was a grandmother, to the beach. And it was one of those days where there were real rip currents at the shore. And the little child had run out into the water about waist deep. A wave hit him, knocked him down. The rip current got him and drug him out. And when his little head popped up, he was out so far that it was way over his head and he couldn't swim. And he went down, and the grandmother looked and she wrung her hands and she said, "Oh God, save my little grandson." And the next time his little head popped up, a wave caught him, brought him all the way in and spit him out on shore. Oh, you know what the grandmother said? She looked out and she said, "Well, Lord, he had a hat on when he went in." Now, you know what? A lot of people are that way. And a truly thankful heart gets us beyond that. Second is that Thanksgiving highlights grace. Isn't it wonderful to be totally dependent on God? And you say, "Well, I don't like that. I like to be a little bit independent. I like to do my own thing." Hey, I've been there and done that. And you know what I found? When I do my thing, it sure isn't like God. It sure isn't like God. And there's an old logo that you see sometimes on big billboards that says, "Let go and let God." It's the best advice I ever heard. You see, the problem is that we want to be in charge and our pride then slays that thankful spirit within us. Proud folks are seldom grateful. Third blessing that the Samaritan got was that he found that thankfulness encourages a positive attitude. When I look back on what God's done in my life, it makes me extremely excited about what he's going to do. Doesn't it do that for you? It develops hope for the future. It develops hope for the future. It makes a difference in how I base my relationship with God. And if we practice thanksgiving regularly, it ensures that gratitude will spill over into every part of our life. Did you know that grumpiness and irritability don't grow well in the soil of gratitude? You show me a grouchy, grumpy person, I'll show you, I promise, a person who is ungrateful, a person who is not thankful. What about the nine? All they got was a physical healing, and not one of them was made whole. Not one of them went away from that transaction closer to God. Not one of them had opportunity to grow in relationship to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, you know, I said at the beginning that the sermon is, you ought to be thankful. But I want to tell you how that works. I had a young lady, and Carol, you'll remember her, Kathy was her name. She had a boyfriend that she loved with all her heart. And he was lost. One day she called me, and she was crying, and she said, "Brother Bob, I just found out today that I have cancer, and there's nothing they can do." And Carol and I went to her house, and we cried with her, and we talked with her, and we prayed with her. But then she looked up at me, and she said the strangest thing. Her face glowed. And she said, "I thank God for the cancer. And just maybe, if God will give me the grace to handle this in a way that glorifies him, maybe Bobby will come to trust Jesus." How thankful are we? Are we that kind of thankful? The story has a happy ending, but not the one she wanted. In a very miraculous way, God reached down and healed her. And to this day, she's cancer-free. But the entire time she lived under the threat of death, she lived with a radiant, glowing face. Bobby never came to the Lord. I want you to indulge me for just a moment as I wind this down. Sometimes we don't spend enough time thanking God. And so I personally want to just take some time. And God, I want to thank you for the cute little blonde girl you gave me over 50 years ago. Been my helpmate, my friend. I want to thank you for the life you've given us together and the children. I want to thank you for three precious great-grandchildren and the little boy that we just left yesterday morning.
in Mississippi.
I want to thank you for that new precious life. I want to thank you, Father, for the ministry that you've given me through the years. I want to thank you for every church that you've allowed me to serve. I thank you for the hurts and pray that in them and through them you receive glory. Father, I thank you for this church. And I can go person by person and thank God for each one of you. For the blessing you are to me, so many of you for the servant you are to God and this congregation. Doesn't it just drive you to your knees to thank God this morning? You may just want to jump up on your feet and thank God for something. If you want to do that, that's all right. Thank Him. Praise His name. Praise His name. I'm convinced if we spend our lives in thanksgiving, realizing that all we have is from God, it will change all of our life and God will make us whole. Do you need to be whole this morning? Do you need an attitude adjustment? This morning, do you need to lose that grumpy grouchiness? Whatever you need this morning, as you praise God and thank Him, He'll make you whole. Will you do that this morning? Oh, Father, thank you. Let's pray together. Father, I pray this morning that you might pour out your mercy and love and grace on each one. I pray, Father, that in this moment there might be lives that are open to you as they've never been, and precious, precious people will be made whole. I pray that greed and selfishness and pride just simply be dissolved in the wonder of your love and mercy and grace. Father, through your Holy Spirit, work in each life to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand quietly and prayerfully, heads bowed, eyes closed. Where do you stand in your relationship to God? Where do you stand? Have you ever come to a point in your life when you just said, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I acknowledge that you're Lord. And I'm tired of being in charge. God help me. It may be that you made a commitment when you were 12 years old, but you know what? That doesn't fit you anymore. You're an adult now. And it might be that you need to say, God, I want to surrender all that I am to your Lordship. Might be that even right now you feel that God's leading you to come and be a part of this church family. Whatever God speaks to you, I invite you to come. As the praising team sings, come to Jesus. Don, lead us.